Welcome to the Kanakuk Institute podcast, where we continue to equip leaders with biblical skills for a lifetime of ministry. Hello, this is Keith Chancy with the Kanakuk Institute coming to you live from Branson, Missouri. And we are so excited today that we have a special guest today, Kirby Anderson. And I know you guys that you came through the Institute, you've heard Kirby. He is the most well-informed man on the planet. I love talking to Kirby because he is just full of wisdom and in knowledge, and he's current on what is going on in the world today. Kirby Anderson, welcome to Branson, Missouri.
Great to be here, and we've really had a great week already talking about some of these issues that we'll be talking about today.
Oh my goodness. You know, Kirby, you've been coming here for, I think, 21 years, and you've been investing in these students, and we just can't thank you enough for the impact that you're having in our world for Christ. So thank you so very much, Kirby. Today, what we want to do is we just want you to kind of answer some questions that people are asking. What is the state of Israel?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I just was in Israel, and we had probably one of the best tours we've ever had. We stayed there for an extended period of time in Jerusalem because the Pool of Siloam has opened up, and that's the first time in 2,000 years. So got to preach John 9 there about the blind man who washed his eyes in the Pool of Siloam. Of course, we've done many of the other places that you guys have been to before, but it just really gave us a chance to understand what is there. And of course, then within 2 weeks, we have, of course, October 7th, and the attack of Hamas, and we'll talk about Hamas and Hezbollah and some of that in just a minute. But it was a very good time, but it also illustrates again that anybody that has not been to Israel, and I know a lot of people listen to this podcast have, but if you've not, it's only the size of Jerusalem. There's one place where from the border on the sea to actually what is now called the West Bank, which is Judea and Samaria, is only 9 miles wide.
Wow.
Just think about trying to defend that. And then think about if you're in Jerusalem and then you have the Gaza Strip where Hamas is firing these rockets, it'd be like being in Branson and having people in Harrison firing at you or something like that, or even maybe closer. And so you just got to understand that it's a very small area. And even though it's a very small area, surrounded by about 500 times as much acreage and square miles, nevertheless, it's the epicenter of the world right now.
It is. You know, Kirby, you know, people misunderstand. You know, they kind of think, are we against Palestine? What is a Palestinian? What is Hamas? You know, what is Hezbollah? Talk to us a little bit. Make a difference between those.
Well, there are individuals that have lived in that area, and they're Palestinians. Mm-hmm. Now, there's some Palestinian Christians, and I have met some of them in my own neighborhood. One particular couple lives in Bethlehem, and when I went over there, I later showed them some pictures, and I showed them the guys. Oh, he was my classmate. And I showed him the church. Oh, that was the church where we were married. And I took a picture of the Shepherd's Fields, and he said, oh, there's my house. So we are dealing in those cases with Palestinian Christians. Mm. They're mostly Orthodox. But then you also have Palestinian Arabs. But there are other individuals that have been taken over by the Palestinian Authority, or in the case of the Gaza Strip, taken over by Hamas. Now, they were elected, although I don't want to say it was a free and fair election. It's kind of an election with a gun to your head. But nevertheless, when Israel removed Israeli citizens almost by force in 2005 and then allowed for an election, Hamas took over and has been ever since attacking Israel and taking some of the humanitarian aid that was intended for those Palestinian people to use that to build tunnels and all of the rest. So as a result, we have to recognize that although we love the Palestinian Christians and the other Palestinians, there is a radical element of Islam, which you find in Hamas and Hezbollah, which are basically proxies for Iran. And that is the danger that we have, and that's the danger Israel has faced as well.
Mm, so, you know, if I'm just trying to begin to learn this, Israel is in a war. It's not necessarily with the Palestinians, it's with Hamas.
Right.
That is so good. And so why is it that, I guess some people say Palestine has such a problem with Israel and the nation of Israel, they want the land. Can you talk a little bit about that land issue there?
And part of it is they keep talking about a two-state solution, mm-hmm. but you can think about any attempts, whether it's the Camp David Accords or the Oslo Accords or a variety of others, and I can get into the depth of that if anybody wants to, but probably not. There always has been a tendency for the Palestinian Authority, whether it's Mahmoud Abbas or a variety of others, to walk away. And the reason for that goes back to this idea of Islam, and that is for radical Muslims, and these are not all the Palestinians, but for radical Muslims like in Hamas and Hezbollah, Islamic Jihad, ISIS, and others, they believe that there are two houses, the house of war and the house of Islam, mm-hmm. and those will always be in conflict. But the ultimate goal, if you will, the eschatology, or the ultimate goal, is for the entire world to be covered by Muslim thought through a caliphate that will impose Sharia law on the entire world. Now, within the Muslim world, the idea is if this was conquered by Allah, this was conquered by the army of Muhammad, it always remains Muslim. So once you have, after the death of Muhammad, the Muslim army first going into Syria and Persia and areas like that, and the Muslim army going through North Africa all the way into Spain, becoming Moorish Spain, once they took over Jerusalem in 636, if I remember right, then that is always Muslim land. So when we talk about a two-state solution, they're going, well, we don't agree with a two-state solution. This has always been Muslim land. Now, you're a Bible scholar, so you recognize, you can go back to 1400 BC, Joshua takes over the land.
Yes.
1000 BC, you have King David and the kingdom. So they were there a long time before. But there is a Muslim mindset that says, this is always our land. And so when you hear these chants, from the river to the sea, they mean that from the river, that is the Jordan River, all the way to the Mediterranean Sea, that is Muslim land, and there's no place for a two-state solution. There's no place for a Jewish person to be in the Holy Land.
Mm. Now, didn't Israel try to give them the land at some point, and they refused? Was that true?
That is very true. Well, first of all, even when you talk about the Gaza Strip, and that's the location of the Pharisees, so mm-hmm. Jews have always had trouble with that part of the geography there, but it has been a problem. And they did try to do that, and that's where you've had individuals walk out. In a variety of different ways. You've got the PLO, you've got the Palestinian Authority. I could go through the long list, but yes. It just never works. Because even when you've had some of the prime ministers of Israel, I think, naively thinking that we could give land for peace, it has never worked out. And the best example, land for peace, is the Gaza Strip. When they finally simply says, well, we will remove from Gaza, you have the potential there to have your own country. And Gaza could eventually be the French Riviera of the Middle East. It's a beautiful area mm-hmm. where you could have hotels and restaurants and everything. That's not the goal. The goal is the attack on Israel. And so while there are probably some Palestinians, people that would identify themselves as Palestinians, either in what's called the West Bank, Judea and Samaria, or in the Gaza Strip, that would want to live in peace with Israel, they tend to be the minority. Mm-hmm. And I think we've seen more recently in some of these videos that even the individuals that are not Hamas terrorists, when they have, for example, I think of that German woman that was attacked and mm-hmm. they're spitting on her and all that, they are agreeing with this. Mm. And so the problem is you've got a mindset there that sees Israel as evil and Hamas as those who are eventually going to remove these evil people called Israel and the Jewish people from the land. And so we've seen a rise of anti-Semitism mm-hmm. that we've never seen before. And I might just say, 3 years ago, I give you those old booklets on anti-Semitism.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
3 years ago, I went on anti-Semitism. My latest one coming out is new because now we have a whole new element of anti-Semitism. It's not just anti-Jew, but you have, and we'll talk about this tomorrow in the class, this idea of woke theology and critical race theory and critical theory and intersectionality, which says that if you're in power, you are an oppressor and you're evil,
mm-hmm.
Jerusalem and Israel. And if you are weak and out of power, then you are to be supported because you're a victim. And so we're now seeing students on the street who would never have said something that would be perceived as anti-Semitic, now saying things like from the river to the sea mm-hmm. and going after Jewish people and more attacks on Jewish people than ever before, as well documented by the mm-hmm. Defense Department mm-hmm. and even by the Justice Department.
Wow, Kirby, that's amazing information right there you've just given to us. Can you explain a little bit, you know, because here in America, there's uprisings. I mean, it's happening in cities all across America, Washington, D.C. and so many others. What is going on there? How do we as Americans try to process to our friends of what's really going on?
Well, I think we have to understand that, first of all, there is a concern. You are not anti-Semitic by disagreeing with the policies of Israel. Israelis disagree with the policy of Israel. So that's not the point. But the anti-Semitism that sees Jewish people as a group is the problem. And that is the problem. I talked about this idea of intersectionality without getting into much depth. It's this Marxist idea that has been adopted by a lot of individuals that find themselves basically seeing you as a group. Mm-hmm. And so the group is evil or the group is good. And so you now have individuals pretty much that are attacking Jewish people as a group. And once you start down that road, then you can see how college students want to be supporting the victims and attacking the oppressors. And Israel then becomes the oppressor rather than the individual that really is, in some respects, the victim surrounded by massive numbers of Arab countries that want their destruction.
Mm. Kirby, what in your just best wisdom that you give is the best way for the Christian to begin to evangelize and begin to educate people that don't really understand they're anti-Semitic? How do we begin to help them?
Well, I think we first of all have to recognize that if we want to teach people, at least biblically, that they are God's chosen people. Mm. And you can go to Genesis 12, and you got the land, seed, and the people, and all sorts of things. And you can go to Deuteronomy and other passages. We teach so often here at Kennecup the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, and those kinds of things. But even if you were to say, I don't accept that, there are people that no longer believe that the promises made to Jewish people still work. I disagree with that, but even if you don't, you still have to say the Jewish people are created in God's image. And we treat everybody that are individuals in God's image with dignity and respect. So we have that responsibility to do that. If we're looking for a friend in Israel, in the Middle East, it is Israel. It's no doubt about that. It is the closest thing we have to a truly functioning democracy. It is a friend of the United States. Moments after Ben-Gurion established the nation of Israel, President Harry Truman recognized the nation of Israel. So we should respect Jewish people. We should respect the nation of Israel. Doesn't mean we can't be critical of it, but I think that is the case. But most importantly, recognize that the most Jewish person was Jesus Christ, came and died for our sins that we might have everlasting life. And so in some respects, we have a real responsibility to stand with Jewish people, stand with Israel, but recognize that our whole gospel comes from the Jewish culture.
Mm, boy, that is well said. What a great way to come to a conclusion on this podcast, because you have just helped us understand Israel and the battle that's going out there. It's just a demonic battle. You know, people aren't understanding who the people of God are, and then understand who our Savior really is. And this is just a mess of a battle. But Kirby, you have answered a lot of questions, and we have to go back and we need to be theologically correct. We need to understand our Bible. We need to understand truth. We need to, like Kirby said, went back to Genesis 11 and 12 and just began to go through the Abrahamic covenant. And we've got to understand these covenants that were laid out for the nation of Israel. And that we today, as Christians, we've adopted that and we understand that. But we are saved through a Jewish Messiah. And so we are thankful for that. And we are thankful for the salvation of grace that we have, and that it was nothing that we did to earn it or deserve it. In fact, as I look around today and I see the world in the turmoil that it is, all I say is, please, Jesus, come. You know, we have hope and we have peace in our Savior. And so the thing that we have to look forward to is that one day there will be a new Jerusalem, and we'll understand it in what it really was of the Jewish people. And so thank you, Kirby, so much today for coming and enlightening our audience and just being always such a faithful man to serve the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you. Hey, God bless you guys out there for listening today. We are so blessed to have you guys listen in, and we hope this has been helpful for you guys. And we love always for you guys to send in questions that you have about what you'd like for us to cover here at the podcast. Hey, thank you very much, and have the most blessed day ever. Bye now.